And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, and we've got a power-packed session for you today, talking about occult theocracy, occult Satanism in religion, theocracy. And you know, theocracy, the very word has a meaning far deeper than religion. It means theology mixed with aristocracy, the elite religion, the religion of the plunderers of the world. Did you know that the Council on Foreign Relations now has a religious motive? They've got everything geared up at the Council on Foreign Relations Pratt Building. And they're headquartered, by the way, not only in New York City, but also in Washington, D.C., the two centers of power of the Council on Foreign Relations. And they now are convinced that religion is going to be the engine of progress for the New World Order. Oh, they're not giving up politics and economics. No, but there are three pillars on which this satanic New World Order is going to be constructed. Government or politics, economics or money, and then religion, or should I say, false religion. Not pure religion that we know in Jesus Christ Christianity, but a religion that is full of unity and diversity. Oh, yes. A vibrant religion that opens its arms to all, and all who do not enter in those open arms will be crushed. That's the offer. That's the grand promise. That's the that's the strategy and doctrine of the Council on Foreign Relations. Come all ye that are heavy laden, and we will give you rest. And if you don't come, we'll pack things so heavy on your back it'll break. Now, I'm going to name some names today, and I want you to know right away, you better be ready for it. If you don't like people who name names, well, then shut up and get off the station. Take that little finger of yours and push it on the button, or turn the knob and go somewhere else. The Bible is full of names. You'll remember the prophet Nathan pointed his finger at King David and said, "You're that man, the adulterer, the murderer." Isn't it time that God's people point fingers at the evildoers and say, "You are that man"? Now, if you don't like what the Bible has to say and what it instructs us to do, then go play with the devil's children. And that's your business. Until you leave this realm, this life that you have now, this temporary fleshly existence, you can do whatever you please. Cain and Abel had a little dispute because Cain wanted to do what he pleased, not what God pleased, and he killed his own brother. And the Bible goes on and on with people just like him. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do what he pleased, and before long he went insane and was like a wild man. And now we have girls gone wild. They're like wild women. And the Council on Foreign Relations has a logo on their magazine, Foreign Affairs, And it's a picture of a naked man. He's wild. The wild man. Go and do wild things. Leave us Christians alone. We don't need you. You say, well, I thought Christians needed everybody. No, you got it all wrong. The Bible in the New Testament, it says God can raise up people to follow him. He can raise up disciples from stones. Now, I've been to the Grand Canyon in Arizona, and I've looked down, and there's a lot of stones down there. And God can raise up someone to follow him from those stones. He doesn't need you, you rebellious, evil person. Go somewhere else and quit bothering us. And especially, don't say you're a Christian. I'm sick and tired of you people who say, I'm a Christian. I just don't want to be judgmental. Shut up! Go be with the devil's crowd. That's what you are. You're a devil. You're acquiescing. You're cooperating with evil. You are evil. Play in the mud puddle. You get muddy. Oh, Tex, you're so judgmental. That's right. And listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you can't judge things, you're not a Christian, you're a devil. Okay, now we got that settled. I want to say it one more time. If you are unable to judge things, then you are a devil, you're not a Christian. Because Christians are always discriminatory. They are prejudiced. What does prejudice mean? It means to prejudge things. They have prejudged things. One man committed incest and Paul said, I've already judged him and I'm not even there. He judged him from afar. That's what I call prejudice. That's what I call real judgment. So I just wanted to get that off my chest before we begin. So you'll know. Now you might want to still listen to this program. You might be cursing me right now and calling me names and saying I don't agree with Tex. We're all supposed to be lovey-dovey and cushy-wushy and fuzzy-duzzy and all that. And, you know, I just don't agree with him. But it does sound sort of interesting. I'm just going to see what this lunatic has to say. And you're probably still tuning in right now. Well, I'm just getting fired up, so you know it's winter time, but you may not need your heaters on today. You may not need your furnaces. Don't worry about putting a stick of wood on the fireplace. We're just getting heated up here. I'm looking at an issue of Newsweek, November 13, 2006, has a picture of a cross. I don't know whether it's metal or wood. I suspect it's wood. But it's all wrapped up in the United States flag. So the flags are all wrapped up around the cross. And the title of the feature article in this Newsweek edition says, The Politics of Jesus. The Politics of Jesus. But here's a question I have for you. Do religion and politics mix? Well, if you've got the perfect government, and you know, I love the Old Testament where it says that government shall be on his shoulder. That's the shoulder of the coming Messiah, Jesus. Government shall be on his shoulder. Well, you know, if I've got Jesus Christ is my ruling king and Lord, I believe politics, as we would call it, government, as the Bible calls it, and religion do mix. If you got God making the decisions, making the rules, you can't go wrong. But since it seems we have men, and men who are devils, no less, as the Bible says here on earth, because men will wax worse and worse doing evil, deceiving and being deceived, well, that doesn't sound like a very good situation. And you know, even if it's a democracy, it just means that evil men promote and vote for other evil men or women. What good does that do? What good did it do to vote in Bill Clinton? What good did it do to vote in George W. Bush? It was evil people voting for evil people. What good does that do? And so on earth today, friends, it's a dangerous thing to mix religion and politics because all politicians are full of the devil. Well, wait, Tex, I know a few Christian candidates. Shut up! You don't know any. No Christian can get elected today. Well, alderman for my little town. Okay, so you got a town of 18 inhabitants and they voted in a Christian as alderman. I will believe that. But a congressman, a senator, shut up! That's impossible. Because the people of an entire congressional district are on the whole wicked. And they will vote for other wicked people. And you say, but yes, but so-and-so says he's a born-again Christian. I don't care what he says. I'm judging him from afar. He cannot be a Christian or he wouldn't be able to get the money to run for office. You say, well, he's independently wealthy. If he were independently wealthy, then once he got to Congress, they would strangle him and he wouldn't be given a chairmanship or any other position and he would be out. And anyway, do you think the Democrats or Republicans in the first place would nominate a man to even run who really is righteous? They don't want their own sins brought forward. You know, back during the Revolutionary War era in America, back in the days of Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, there was a man in Virginia, a Baptist man, a preacher. His name was John Leland. I've studied a little bit about John Leland. And you know, he warned against politicians who he said, quote, make a great noise about religion. Now, George Bush says he's killing people over in Iraq because God told him to. And Bill Clinton took his little Bible on Easter morning, and first he had oral sex with Monica Lewinsky, and then he walked over with his bodyguards over to the Foundry United Methodist Church and attended church on Easter Sunday. And both of these men made a great noise about religion. John Leland said, watch out for that person. Now, John Leland himself was a preacher. You'd think he'd be proud of it. Proud of people who said, oh, yes, I'm religious. I believe in Jesus. John Leland says, watch out for him. He says, watch out for such men. Because they will intrude on your constitutional rights. Listen to what he says. He says, never promote men who seek after a state-established religion. It is spiritual tyranny, the worst of despotism. Now, let me tell you why I listen to John Leland. You see, when our nation's founders, I mean the rich men, who wanted to undo the Articles of Confederation and the freedom in the individual 13 states, and set up a centralized national government and an aristocracy again. Yes, that's right. Madison and all the others, led by the Rothschild money interest, and they wanted to set up a central bank. They needed to con the American people. And they got together, these rich men, and they put together what they said was the Constitution. But it had to be voted on by the people of the 13 states. And guess what? It wasn't going to get in. And these rich, evil men said, how are we going to con the people? How are we going to dupe them? So they sent Mr. Madison over to talk to Mr. Leland. You see, Leland was not a rich man. And he was a preacher. And he was opposed to the Constitution. Now, why was Mr. Leland opposed to the Constitution? He said it doesn't have a Bill of Rights. And he recommended the people of Virginia and other states vote against it. It sets up a national government, but there's no rights for the people. Madison went to see him and said, Mr. Leland, why, you don't need those rights of a, you know, against a federal government. Why, you have the states to guarantee you all your freedoms. You don't need to put restrictions on the federal government. Why, surely you can trust the national central government. You know, it's like you can trust Big Brother to love you. Mr. Leland said, no. I don't trust the federal government. I don't even trust the state government. I only trust God. Well, Madison and the rich guys got together and said, you know what? We're not going to get our little constitutional plot, our little conspiracy through here, unless we give them a Bill of Rights. Let's go ahead and agree that if they'll vote for the Constitution and give us what we want, we'll give them 10 amendments to it. That's why we have amendments, friends. Why it's not in the original Constitution. They're amendments. And, of course, I believe these rich men who gave us the Constitution thought later they could undo these 10 amendments. Somehow they just wouldn't obey them. They would or get rid of them. But this was the price they had to pay because Mr. Leland and other Christians, Christian pastors, judged things righteously and said no. Oh, they were very judgmental, those men. And so we got our Bill of Rights. And you know what? For over 250 years, the evil men of America, led by the Rothschilds of Europe, have attempted to undo those 10 amendments to the Constitution. And now the Council on Foreign Relations says, we can't undo those 10 amendments, but what we can do is just take over the church. We can get Mr. Lelands of this world to work for us instead of God. Here's one thing that Mr. Leland said way back then. He said that politics and religion, he said, don't mix. It only converts religion into a principle of state policy and the gospel into merchandise. Heaven forbids the bans marriage between churches and state. Their embraces, therefore, must be unlawful. No embracing the state. That's why the First Amendment of the Constitution says that Congress shall make no law establishing or favoring an establishment of religion or denying the free exercise thereof. Now, though, things are changed. The politicians, and especially the New World Order elite, are gobbling up, swallowing up religion. And they're doing it with favors and money. Somebody recently sent me information about James Dobson, A Focus on the Family, and Tony Perkins and Gary Bauer and Don Wildman of the American Family Association, all the others. And they had a big meeting, and guess who were three of the primary people who were brought forth as speakers? Righteous men, you decide, dear friends. One of them was John McCain, pro-abortion, pro-killing of Iraqis. There was Newt Gingrich, a man who cheated on two of his wives, philandered with a Senate female aide, had an affair with her. A wicked man, Newt Gingrich. Bill Frist, former Senate Majority Leader, was another one of them. They're all members of the Council on Foreign Relations, Mr. McCain, Mr. Gingrich, and Mr. Frist. James Dobson, what were you doing inviting them to your meetings? Now, the Bible talks about qualifications for pastors and teachers. These people were invited as teachers, Christian teachers, but they're not Christians. They're reprobate, monstrous, pro-abortion devils of the Council on Foreign Relations. And Dobson is in bed with them. And he ain't fair unnaked either. He's totally without his clothes, if you know what I mean. What is the Council on Foreign Relations? What really is its goal? If these men that are in bed with Dobson and the other Christians are part of the Council on Foreign Relations network, well, the late Admiral Chester Ward, Judge Advocate General of the U.S. Navy, did a little investigation. He said the Council on Foreign Relations' goal is to submerge American sovereignty and national independence into an all-powerful one-world government. How is it then that Christian leaders today would invite those who are leaders of the Council on Foreign Relations to their meetings to teach their people, the flocks? But wait, that's not all. Now the Council on Foreign Relations, in order to seduce and make prostitutes of these religious leaders, have decided not to just get in bed with them, but to lay on top of them. And let me explain that. Now, these Christians are being invited into the Council on Foreign Relations. It's without doubt today that the three most powerful and well-established names in Christendom today, other than the Pope of Rome, are Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church, author of The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. Pastor Rick Warren, the media calls him America's pastor. Then there's Dr. Richard Land, the big poobah and potentate, and I just call him the imperial grand wizard of the Southern Baptist Convention, Richard Land. I was not surprised this year, 2006 just passed, that the CFR has chosen to nominate and now has picked for its membership Mr. Warren and Mr. Land. Isn't that exciting? Now they don't just attend CFR functions. Now they don't just ask CFR members to come and talk to their people, their flocks. Now they're actually, let's just call them pastors of the CFR church, because that's what it's become now. And the Council on Foreign Relations is now convinced that America and the world needs a new global spirituality. Now, where do the Catholics come in here? A lot of people say, Tex, you're just too easy on the Catholics. Now, I've had video after video, of course, you know. Is the Pope Catholic? I asked that question. I exposed him. And many others. I can't even think of. Sandra, what's that other video I recently did? All Fall Down, I think it was. I know there was an audio tape about that. But there was Tower of Infamy. Yeah, okay. We did. Now listen to me very carefully. The Council on Foreign Relations has established a religious roundtable, an organization within its own group of the CFR, that will further the cause of this global spirituality. In other words, bringing the religions of the world together as one. How are they going to do it? They're going to use America's Christian leaders to do it. And the Pope of Rome. Now the CFR, this new project of theirs, that they began actually in the year 2004, they chose their most powerful potentate to lead it. It shows you how important, how critical is this global spirituality to them. How they believe they're going to use religion to bring in the whole kit and caboodle of their global dictatorship. Religion. And again, hear me, friends, hear me. The man they chose to lead this religious roundtable, this conspiracy and plot against Jesus Christ, none other than Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger. Former Secretary of State. Former Rockefeller and Rothschild associate. Now, this Jew, Henry Kissinger, is head of the CFR's roundtable. and he's brought into his little coterie of scalawags. Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest evangelical fellowship, depending on which number I've read recently, have 33 million Southern Baptists in America. I think that's pure baloney. I don't even think the SBC itself claims that many. I think it claims like 16 or 18 million. But, you know, the SBC is a bunch of liars, too. But let's just give them 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 million. Who knows? Sort of like how many illegal aliens have in America. Who really knows? 20 million, 30 million, 40 million. After all, a million here, a million there, just doesn't matter anymore, does it? A million reprobate Baptists here, a million reprobate Baptists there. Pretty soon we're talking about real people, though, aren't we? Yeah. Henry Kissinger is head of it, and a man who is the chairman of a group called the Pew, P-E-W. That doesn't mean church pew. I think it means pew-wee. Pew Research Group. A man named Mead, M-E-A-D, is the co-head of this. All right? Now, in the September-October 2006 edition of Foreign Affairs, that's the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, the cover cries out, religion and U.S. foreign policy, how the evangelical boom is remaking the country's politics at home and abroad with surprising results. This whole issue is dedicated to religion. Who would have ever thought? The CFR is interested in religion. But they're more than interested in it. They set up their religious round table, and they brought in Rick Warren and Dr. Richard Land, the two biggest names in Christendom, other than maybe Billy Graham, but he's old and frail and gone, practically. And then there's Joel Osteen, Mr. Smiley, but I don't think he understands how to put his pants on straight in the morning without his wife. So he really got, it's not going to be help to him. Except by denying Jesus, which he basically does while saying he believes in Jesus. Did you know you can deny God by many means, friends? In any case, Walter Russell Mead, the head of this Pew organization, Pew Research Group, wrote this article for Foreign Affairs. It's a long one. Takes up about a half the whole journal of Foreign Affairs. And he makes it plain that we, that is the potentates, the elite, the Illuminati of the Council on Foreign Relations, need this religion nugget, this element, this component. Why? To bring about a Zionist New World Order. Zionism. That's right. A Zionist New World Order. He says with these people, basically, Mr. Mead says we can get on with building our Zionist New World Order. Now, he uses other words for it, but read it. You'll see what I mean. And 2007, dear friends, is the year of consolidation. Religion, politics, economics, all coming together as one and creating a new order of the centuries. A new world order. The promise of the symbol on our $1 bill. Now, what about the Catholics? When we come back in a minute, I want to tell you how the Catholics are being brought into this too. Oh, they haven't forgotten the Catholics. They've got the Baptists. They've got all of the Assembly of God and all of the evangelicals through Land and through Rick Warren. But the Pope, oh, the new Pope, what are they going to do about him? They have a plan. You'll hear about it. When I reveal the rest of the story right here on Power of Prophecy, I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. We're going to continue exposing the occult theocracy and the new global spirituality of the Council on Foreign Relations. Deceived on purpose. The New Age implications of the purpose-driven church. It's a book by Warren Smith, about 211 pages, and we're asking only $16 plus $4 shipping and handling, a total of $20. It's a book that you won't find in Christian bookstores. They don't want to expose Rick Warren and his New Age occult religion. It sounds so close to true Christianity. But again, the Bible calls on us to discriminate between the lie and the truth. And you'll see the incredible, amazing nature of the Rick Warren philosophy and religion, and how the Antichrist is going to use this. And already the Council on Foreign Relations, as we're seeing, is using this purpose-driven movement for its own causes. Deceived on Purpose. $20, the book by Warren Smith, that will be postpaid then, include all the shipping and handling. Deceived on Purpose is the name of the book by Warren Smith. Warren Smith should know, many years ago, before he became a Christian, he was a New Age occultist. He studied all about the New Age. He and his wife truly believed in it until they found Jesus that day. And now they know what the New Age really is. They're on the lookout, and they're going to help you to see the difference between true Christianity and Satan's purpose. Deceived on Purpose is the name of the book. $20, that covers all the shipping and handling. Here's how to get your book, Deceived on Purpose. Just phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. And now, oh, by the way, I guess you can, yeah, you can write to us, of course. Question come up here. Yeah, let me give you our address. Our address, of course, is Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And put a little sticky note or a little note in there and send us a check or a money order or cash for $20 and say, hey, Brother Tex, send me that Deceived on Purpose book. And I'm telling you, we'll have it off the shelf and to you either that day or the next day. We're pretty quick around here. Many people are just amazed. You know how these ads say, you know, allow 6 weeks for shipping and delivery? We don't take 6 weeks here. That's baloney. We think more about you and your time than our time, friends. We get your order in here. Within a day or two, we're processing it, and maybe one more day to ship it. And I'll tell you something, then it's up to the post office now. Sometimes they can be laboriously slow, but I'm not going to apologize for those rascals. But if it's our fault, I'll tell you one thing, I'll make it right. I'll make it right here. If anybody will tell you, if you ever get a book, you get the wrong book from us, don't suffer with it, call us. Say, hey, I got the wrong book. I got the wrong video. I got the wrong audio tape. We don't get very many calls like that. But when we do, we're going to make it right to you, friends. You know why? You are our friend. You're not a customer. You're not a client. You're not somebody out there. You're part of this ministry. You're our brother and sister. When you call up, you got friends here. You don't have some old ordering clerk from Time Life Books. You're not with some other ministry that pay these organizations to call you, make cold calls to you while you're trying to relax at night and trying to get money from you and having these little canned pre-written messages. We don't have anything pre-written. Even my talks every week are not pre-written. I don't pre-write anything except my newsletter articles. I do write that. I mean, you have to write to print it up. But other than that, people say, may I see your sermon notes? Sermon notes? What sermon notes? I don't use any notes. I don't have any script. That's for the big boys that are run by the Zionist and the New World Order elite. They need to be given a transcript to read from. I don't need that. I get out all the facts, all the documents. I have all my magazines and books and special reports and investigative materials here all over my desk, in fact, all over my office, sometimes all over my house. My wife, Wanda, just complains. Clean that place up in there. Oh, she's a suffering servant, I'm telling you. But the point is, friends, you're going to find a friend here when you call. That's what we are. You're our friend. And if you ever come to a conference I preach at or teach at, or you ever visit this ministry, that's what you're going to find. We're just a bunch of friends here. We like each other, and we like you too. And you know, when you like people, that makes all the difference in the world. Many years ago, I had a few people worked here, didn't seem to like people. I told them, you better go work somewhere else. You better just go get a job. This is not just a job here. This is a ministry. We like people. We're here because we serve. Serve God first and serve His people. That's the way it is. Okay, enough of that preaching. Now let's do some teaching and some discoveries. Boy, I like to have people discover things. I love to discover things myself. You're listening to Tex Mars, by the way, Power of Prophecy. We're on every week right here on WWCR Radio. And today we're talking about occult theocracy. You know, it was a famous book some years ago. I can't take credit for that term, by the way. I borrowed it. I really did. A lady, let's see if I can remember her name, because she was a precious lady that lived around the turn of the 20th century, she called herself Lady Queensborough. She authored a wonderfully descriptive book that unmasked this occult philosophy called occult theocracy. And you know, she actually had a definition of it that came from Murray's New English Dictionary. Here's a definition of occult theocracy. The definition is this: ancient myth, which is the mingling of various deities or divine attributes into one personality, also a mixture of different deities. That's occult theocracy. Think about that. A mingling of many various deities. Because Christians know there is only one God. Now, we worship Him as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, yes. But these three are one God. But occult theocracy is different. Here we have a mingling of multiple deities or divine attributes. A mixture of different deities. In other words, all the religions coming together. As above, so below, the devil promised. And all the gods of hell coming and saying, we're the same as the God from above. As above, so below. That's the boast of the devil. And it's the boast of occult theocracy. And it is the goal of this new global spirituality being built today by the Illuminati's Council on Foreign Relations. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about the Catholic Church. At exactly the time I was investigating and discovering this new religious roundtable, this new setup of the Council on Foreign Relations, this new goal of using America evangelical Christianity to influence the whole world and all the other religions, including Islam, and bring it all together in one hodgepodge, devilish bubbling cauldron of evil, this occult theocracy, the mingling of deities, but they're going to use so-called Christianity, really the Christian establishment, not the Christian church, to bring about this mingling, this witch's brew, occult theocracy. That's what the CFR is doing, and they have taken one of the top men of all time in their network, Henry Kissinger, and made him the point man. He's the chairman. He's the head of it all. Meanwhile, a news release just came out 2 weeks ago, and guess what? The papacy, Rome, the Vatican, and the Council on Foreign Relations have established an agreed structure of relations, as they call it. And Henry Kissinger has been named by the Pope as his official legate or his official ambassador to the political world. He is the Pope's political advisor now, Henry Kissinger. So over here in America, the Council on Foreign Relations, in its religious roundtable, led by none other than this Mead character of the Pew Research Institute or Forum, I think they call it. And Henry Kissinger are bringing in people like Dr. Richard Land and of the Southern Baptist Convention and Rick Warren, purpose-driven pariah, czar. Aren't they one and the same? While over in the rest of the world, for bringing all the Catholics together, the hundreds of millions of Catholics, Kissinger is telling the Pope what to do. So the CFR's got evangelical Christians who used to call themselves Protestant, but don't anymore. That's why I call them evangelicals. They don't protest anything. They're not Protestants. The CFR has brought the Catholic Church and America's evangelicals into bed together. And who is the conductor of their harmonic, sexually intellectual, would we call it, activities? Who is under the cover with the American evangelicals and the Roman Catholic potentates but Henry Kissinger? He's in bed with them all. Do they call that a menage a trois? I don't know about all those sexual terms. I'm talking about that in my next newsletter, this occult theocracy, this building by the CFR of a global spirituality. You see, having temporarily failed to usher in its new global order by military force, the Illuminati has decided to unleash a far greater power in pursuit of its wicked dictatorial goals, the power of global spirituality. Friends, if you capture a man's mind, I'm telling you, his hands and his feet are going to come along with him. Capture a man's heart and he'll do anything for you. A few of you crafty gals know that, don't you? And they have to have their religious stooges then to capture the masses. They've already got the American evangelical masses reciting in unison like a bunch of Buddhist puppets or Buddhist monks saying, yes, kill, kill, kill in the Middle East. Kill, kill, kill. Oh, yes, please go kill, kill, kill. According to a study by the Johns Hopkins Medical University published in the Britain's influential Lancet Medical Journal, American military forces have now massacred 655,000 Iraqi citizens. And still the Ted Haggards of the National Association of Evangelicals and Dr. Land and John Hagee and all the others are saying, more, more blood, go and kill the Muslims. But wait, it didn't work. We can't kill enough, fast enough. So maybe we can deceive a million more Muslims into this new world order. If we can't kill them, maybe we can trick them. And guess what? Rick Warren has been chosen to do the job. Yes, indeed. You see, the Muslims would not trust the John Hagee Assembly of God, Pentecostal, or Southern Baptist. They're too much into the Zionist. Kill all the Muslims crowd. I mean, Dr. Land's been right up there with Jerry Falwell and all of them say, kill those rascals! Kill those dirty Muslims! He hadn't said exactly those words, but that's basically it. He is politically dirty to the Muslims. But along comes Rick Warren with his purpose-driven movement. Well, he's never joined the Zionist movement. He must be a good guy. Maybe, says the Council on Foreign Relations, will use him to deceive the Muslims and bring them into this unity and diversity scam. You say, Tex, do you have any evidence that? Oh, yes, I do. Just 2 months ago, Rick Warren went to the White House where he was trained by the neocon Zionist. He was trained by the neocon Zionist at the Bush White House. What was he trained in? Well, he was sent by the CFR on a mission over to Syria, where he met with all the Muslim Brotherhood and Mr. Assad, the head of the government of Syria. And he met the press and had a news conference and said, you know, the Syrian Muslims, they're not bad people. They're good people. We must love them. Let's all get together as one. See the siren song of the CFR to the Muslims? We can kill you, but if you'll go along with us, we'll love you to death. We can either kill you outright, but if you'll join us, we'll love you. Of course, the eventual goal is to kill them. But right now, let's love them. Let's trick them. Let's deceive them. Now to get this across to the world, and remember, Africa, the masses of Africa, there's a big tussle, a big war of theologies going on. There's the Christians that are winning souls in Africa, but there are more being won to Islam than Christianity in Africa today. So they've sent Rick Warren to Africa too. You think he's busy in America now? No, he's got 100,000 churches signed up for his purpose-driven movement. So now he's over in Africa. Now he's over in the Middle East. Rick Warren is a Council on Foreign Relations ambassador to the Muslims. And Jewish Zionist billionaire, see how it all comes together? Jewish Zionist billionaire Rupert Murdoch set up a whole 1 hour special on Fox TV News Network. They title it, Can Rick Warren Change the World? Not can Jesus, but can Rick Warren change the world? And they showed him on this propagandistic mission to Africa. They made him into a star. And you know, they said it's strange, but all these multimillionaire businessmen are behind him. We wonder why. They love Rick Warren. They're running the show for him. They're running his business, let's just call it. Rick Warren is the front man. He's the puppet. Interesting, isn't it? And Rupert Murdoch says, let's do a whole show pumping him up and building Rick Warren. And they call it, Can He Change the World? Can He Save the World, Rick Warren? Wow. You know, back when Billy Graham was just coming up, the elite did the same thing for Billy Graham. They puffed Billy Graham. Billy Graham says that in his own autobiography. He says, I don't know why, but a man who was a Roman Catholic, a man who owned one of the biggest newspaper chains in America, a man named William Randolph Hearst, chose me. And he did, you know, entire pages in his Los Angeles newspaper, and it was printed in the Hearst newspaper chain across America. And it said, go see Billy Graham and his crusades. They made me a star. I don't know why, says Billy Graham. Why a Roman Catholic globalist would do that for me, little old me. And now Rupert Murdoch's doing it, a Zionist billionaire for Rick Warren. I know why, don't you, friends? Then there's old Dr. Land. He was sent over to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. What's a Baptist doing over there talking to the hottie-totties of the world? Dr. Richard Land was there, but that's not all. He went to the United Nations and spoke. Have you ever heard of a Southern Baptist going to the United Nations? Why, they didn't even let their puppet Jerry Falwell do that. And, of course, he's gone to the Council on Foreign Relations and spoken to them. And now he is one. Dr. Richard Land is a member. And he's running around now with a globalist named Jim Wallace, who claims to be a pastor, but is about as much a pastor as a worm is a dragon. And you don't come to think about it. Wallace is head of the Masonic Oriented Sojourners Group. and M. Land are working together on their Mother Earth movement. Oh yes, Dr. Richard Land has another little project of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's sort of their Zionist man. He's promoting a Zionist New World Order. But meantime, the CFR is still interested in promoting their environmentalism, saving Mother Earth, because they've got to control everybody through this environmentalism, which is a dictatorial, socialist, communist. They own the land. We own nothing. You don't own any property. The environmentalists, the globalists own it. And he's the evangelical's leading point man on environmentalism. I received a letter one day from Dr. Land. He says, Mr. Morris, you criticize me, but you don't understand it. When I go to Washington, D.C., and I talk to all the bigwigs there, they don't want to hear us criticizing the environmental Mother Earth movement. We got to get on board with it. They'll respect us more. You know, that's like saying we can't preach against bars and alcoholics without drinking a six-pack ourselves, getting drunk with them, being their buddies down in those bars. And I can't talk against prostitutes and whores without visiting a few brothels and taking up their services. And I can't say there's anything wrong with fast driving unless I drive my new Mercedes 120 miles an hour down the freeway, says Dr. Land. Of course, I don't know that he said that, but he may as well say such things. Dr. Land gave a talk to the Southern Baptist in which he said the Great Commission of Jesus had two goals. One is to save souls and one is to save planet Earth. Jesus died on the cross to save our Mother Earth. You probably didn't know about that mission of Jesus. You know, I went to the Bible. I can't seem to find it anywhere. And I asked Dr. Land, can you show me that in the Bible where Jesus came to save the earth, to save a bunch of dirt? Well, you know, he can't seem to locate that verse. I guess it's one of those new versions, those New Age Bible versions. You know, Jesus came to save Mother Earth and save the dirt and the trees and the bugs. Now, Dr. Land still mentions Jesus. He preaches Jesus. It's just that increasingly it's becoming another Jesus and another gospel. Because in the CFR's occult theocracy, they have this model, this logo. They call it unity and diversity. It holds that Jesus is a wonderful prophet, a wonderful teacher. He's even God, but he's one of many gods. He's mingle with the other deities. He's mingle through occult theocracy. He's one of many religious ways. And you know what? If you favor Jesus, the CFR will even allow you to say, Jesus is the best God there is. Sort of like, you know, I'm a Texas Longhorn football fan, and I say, Texas Longhorn football is the best there is. And if you're from the state of Ohio, you say, no, Ohio State is the best there is. If you're from New York, you say, Manhattan is the best there is. If you're from New Jersey, you say, New Jersey is the best state there is. You know? But it's not the only state. There's 50 more, or 49 more, aren't there? Texas isn't the only state. There's 49 other states. I'm just saying it's the best. If you say Jesus is the best, well, you're saying there are others out there. It sounds so holy to say Jesus is the best way to salvation. But that's not the same as saying Jesus is the only way to salvation, which the Bible teaches. Now, we're seeing more and more this Council on Foreign Relations, global spirituality. Everything is planned meticulously. If you don't think it is, friends, watch out. For example, Nancy Pelosi, this very attractive Italian-American woman from the capital of the gay world, San Francisco. She is now the Speaker of the House. And she gave a speech to open up the 110th Congress of the United States. Did you know she talked about Novus Ordo Seclorum in her speech? That's what I got a message from a friend, if it's true. I didn't listen to the speech. I figured it'd be boring, but evidently not. Twice, she's talked about something she called the New Order of the Centuries. Really? Wish I'd have heard that speech now. I understand that her first act was to assist in the swearing in of the first Islamic congressman, and she allowed him to swear in on a Quran rather than a Bible. A lot of ruckus about this, a lot of controversy. But listen to how they did it. According to the news reports, Thomas Jefferson had in his library a copy of the Quran. And that's the one this Congressman Ellison, this congressman from Minnesota who's a Muslim, he was elected to Congress. He says, I don't want to swear on the Bible. I don't want to give my oath on the Bible. I want to do it on the Quran. They chose the one that came from Thomas Jefferson's library. Now, we can talk a lot about Thomas Jefferson and his religious inclinations. But let me say this, friends. I have a Quran, too, in my library. Oh, yes, I have a Quran in my library. And I've used that Quran. I've studied that Quran. I know that Quran. And I've taught from the Quran. And I've taught that it's a book of devils. That's a little different. Thomas Jefferson was very interested in religions from around the world. I'm not surprised at all that he had a copy of the Quran. But there's certainly no evidence that he ever believed in the Quran. Neither do I believe in the Quran, although I have a copy of the Quran in my library. But friends, this tolerance of Islam, this bringing in all religions, this co-mingling of deities, which is the Council on Foreign Relations, it was not an accident that they chose Thomas Jefferson's copy of the Quran. See how they're bringing it? Well, if it was okay with Thomas Jefferson, it must be okay. This is how they can pervert things, isn't it? How they pervert everything. Now, I want you to know that both Rick Warren and Dr. Richard Land, I believe, are working at the highest levels with Walter Russell Mead of the Pew Forum. He's also, by the way, as I understand it, one of the top guys from the Los Angeles Times newspapers. Again, his name is Walter Russell Mead, working with Henry Kissinger. If you want to know more about this, go to the CFR.org site. Don't believe me. Go to the CFR.org site and type in Role of Religion, and you'll find a news release dated February 6, 2006. It reads, the council, that is the CFR, has launched a religion and foreign policy initiative to connect with, get that, to connect with and serve as a resource for religious and congregational leaders and thinkers whose voices are increasingly important to the national foreign policy debate. Council President Richard N. Haas, who's Jewish, says, quote, this group, the religious group, has a dynamic and growing influence in American public life, and the Council on Foreign Relations is well positioned to help its members and the public gain a deeper understanding. You know, friends, I think our understanding is deep enough. They're full of the devil. They're satanic. And all things are prophetically being put in place just as the Bible said it would be. This is Tex Mars, friends. We've exposed today the occult theocracy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.